Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. A YouTuber fed all of Metallica's lyrics into an AI bot and asked it to write the lyrics to a new Metallica song. Oh, this is awesome when they do that with the computers.
Yeah, I think this is the same dude that did the one with AC/DC. Remember that guy that put out that AC/DC song that was written by artificial intelligence and it was awesome?
Yeah.
So I think it's the same dude now. He decided to grab all the Metallica lyrics, put them into an AI generator, and they wrote their own lyrics for Metallica.
And like the AC/DC song, these words don't exactly make sense, but, thematically inspired by Metallica, and the song is called Deliverance Rides, and the dude even put it to music.
Bound by letters, these they ride. Crack yourself to world and time. Dying the one who waits for you, but there's no longer cares. Understood.
Yeah, yo.
I'll download it.
Yeah. Death Deliverance Rides. Okay.
Sure, someone says, I'm 90% sure that's how they wrote Death Magnetic.
That's awesome.
That just shows how much of a non-lyric guy I am, because song made sense to me. Yeah. It kicked ass.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I've always had fights with guys like you, Steve. It's like, I don't even know what he's saying. It doesn't matter what he's saying. It's like, well, for me, it kind of does. And
feeling the energy.
And, you know, I mean, I have to turn it way up to be able to understand that I couldn't understand him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, how anti-robot you are. I'm surprised that you enjoy this.
This is the only time where robots are okay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah,
they can write Metallica songs. I just don't want them to be walking around amongst us.
Attention, Skynet.
All right.
This is how you get past Steve. Just sing to him as you're about to basically take him out of existence.
Oh, there you go.
Create a cool, kick-ass Metallica song, and maybe I'll like a robot.
Maybe you will, but they're trying to take over the world, so now they know your flaw.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Man,
I love that he recorded it. The guy did a great job, though, just making it sound like a Metallica song.
See, I love that. I love that he went full boat. He went full boat with it and said, "Not only am I going to have the computer do it, but we're going to throw it out there." And I don't know if there's a. I mean, it would be great if they put it on their album. I would think it'd be great if
it would be
Metallica,
great if they put it on their album.
If Metallica's next album, they just said we're going to take
just
this
sneak it in there and don't even say anything.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody. I want to know how many people notice.
Dude, it makes me think of, I don't know if, man, I think you would like the movie Some Kind of Monster, because it's really a movie about therapy amongst a group of guys that were not getting along.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a documentary about Metallica trying to record their Some Kind of Monster record, and it just shows just how fractured their relationship was. But one of the more ridiculous moments, and it was the moment where they decided, you know what, maybe we don't need this therapist anymore, because he kind of forced himself into the band in a weird way.
Oh, that's not good.
It was very weird. Like, the guy was like, getting a little too connected with the band. I think he felt cool being with Metallica. So they're working on the album and they're working on lyrics for the songs. And they're all coming up with different ideas. And then the therapist starts writing down lyric ideas and they're all looking at him like, who the F are you? Do you think you're in Metallica? And that was like almost the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
It was super weird.
That's very, very weird.
So, I mean, you know, if they're willing to entertain the therapist lyrics ideas, maybe they should just spend some moments with some AI. And if it could sound that aggressive.
Yeah, why not?
They could call it like the robots have taken over. Record.
The robots have taken over. I would just love to do that test to see if, like you, Steve, if you weren't paying attention, if anybody would even know that these lyrics don't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like if we said, hey, we just found a demo of the new Metallica stuff and played that, I wonder if anyone would have been like, man, that song rips. But what the F is James Hetfield singing about?
I'm telling you, somebody, I don't know, we've got to send a memo to this guy. He needs to do a Red Hot Chili Peppers version because I don't think that will sound any different.
I actually think it'll make sense.
Wouldn't that be wild if, in fact, the computer is more sensical than actually any Chili song? That would be so funny.
We're like, oh, whoa, okay, zinga zang zang actually means something.
Yeah. Oh, man. I that's what I want to hear, because a lot of times I will listen to the Chili Peppers and go, okay, I'm really paying attention. I actually can understand what he's saying. I don't know what he's saying sometimes. And
there are moments where Anthony Kiedis just is like, I don't have the time or energy to write another lyric. I'm just going to make sounds.
Yeah.
75% of the time.
Yeah. But it works. I mean, dude, if James Hetfield came out and Metallica wrote an aggressive song and they were just singing my wife's grocery list, and I would probably be fine with it. As long as he's just delivering it with that
oh, dude,
that gusto like it was.
Print out the lyrics to Jump by Van Halen. They're saying absolutely nothing. Hey, you, who's that? Yeah, you. I mean, and Jump.
He's having a conversation,
I
man.
Mean, seriously, I remember listening going, is he saying anything?
And
is
I wonder, though, a lot of that. I wonder how improv that was. Like, you know, because it doesn't seem like he actually got a pen and paper and wrote, hey, you, who said that?
Yeah.
I mean, baby, how you been? I don't know. Maybe he did, but I almost feel like he was just kind of riffing. And he was like, okay, that sounds cool.
Well, and he would do that a lot. You know, David Lee Roth would do that a lot in songs. You know what I mean? He'd just start riffing, like having a conversation, hot for teacher. He's like, hey, have you seen the teacher? Yeah. I mean, it was just like he's
right.
Like, so it's a thing that David Lee Roth did.
And Yankee Rose, which is one of my favorite David Lee Roth solo songs, the entire start of the song is him having a conversation with Steve Vai on guitar. So Steve Vai's talking to him with his guitar.
He's like, that's cool, wah, wah.
And he's like, hey, how's it going? It's like, drugs.
David Lee Roth.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. All right, they officially did a survey because it happens. At some point in your life, you turn into your father.
And so they thought, all right, dudes, we're going to find out when that is. When do you turn into your dad?
Oh, boy.
And, well, it's too late for you, Steve.
Why is that?
You're already your dad.
Oh, thanks.
Because it's an age. It's an age threshold. Uh-huh. So the average age that you start turning into your father, guys, is 37 years old. Yeah, that's it. And this is more than two-thirds of men say they feel more like their father every single year. We've got the 10 signs, the top 10 signs, and you can see how many apply to you.
Grunting when you eat.
Well, grunting is in here.
Not so much. My wife gives me a hard time. She's like, you sound like your father. I'm like,
oh. Grunting is a big part of one of the things that happen, and this happens to me. Grunting when you get up off the couch, off the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the old dad groan.
For me, it's like if I'm down on the ground playing with Tatum, and like I'm like, and if I'm on my knees, I don't know about you guys, after a while, my legs fall asleep. So I'm like kind of like forcing my, I got to like grab like the coffee table, prop myself up.
Oh,
and she's just like, you are completely acting like your father the last time he came. I'm like, I'm not cursing, so I feel like I'm okay.
Yeah, you're doing But you and Rev, you guys are the number ones, okay?
What?
The number one thing on the list is totally you two.
Oh,
sexy
boy.
Bald men?
Yes.
Sexy bald men is what turns you into your father. Yes.
Nice.
That's number one on the list.
Oh, perfect.
No, you two geniuses, when you start taking grilling very seriously, you become your father.
Oh, yeah. I am all about grilling now on that Traeger.
I feel like Rev is definitely taking it more seriously. I don't know if I'm really taking it
more
seriously.
You went out and purchased the damn thing. Doesn't that mean something?
Yeah, but that was more of like it was a really good deal. So that was it was like, okay, I got a really good deal on it, and it's a lot less maintenance than doing a charcoal grill.
But Steve, we also joined a Facebook group. Yeah. We have a very specific grilling Facebook chat or text chat between you, me, and Danny.
Yeah,
we have a group chat that's just called Traeger Buddies.
Yeah.
So it's your whole group, just the three of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you needed a special name for it in case you forgot the other two people in the group.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That way I know when I get the text to read it.
And some little meat emojis on it, too. It's really cute.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Well, congratulations, fathers. I never did the grilling thing. That's something that just went over. Like that, I don't, even at this, at my advanced age, I have no desire to grill. Like, there's no time if I retired or whatever. My wife keeps hoping that, won't you want to cook someday? Won't you want to get, and I go, no. I really, there's nothing in me that says I want to start cooking.
Huh. It's fun,
or
though.
Or grilling.
I like it just because it's like, I also feel like I'm chipping in a little bit in the house. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see that.
Because I'm not cooking a meal for us in the kitchen. Not because of me saying no. It's my wife won't let it happen because I'm not very good at cooking. But with grilling, I could do that. So
which
she's
is
okay
so bizarre,
that.
Isn't it? Because, I mean,
it's super easy compared to, like, I'm throwing corn and some vegetables on a grill and just flipping it every once in a while.
Yeah.
As opposed to actually, like, preparing it and, you know what I mean?
How about this? Number two on the list that says you've turned into your father is you fix things instead of just replacing them. God, you know, I don't do that. I go out and buy a new one. I am really not my dad.
I'm turning into my father.
Yeah. Well, you're a homeowner now.
Right. So. But like any little thing, like, you know, screws loose on a chair, I go in and fix it.
What
like,
if there's a screws loose with a guy you work with on the show? Is there anything you can do about that?
There is no screwdriver that can fix me.
Oh. You know, Vicky, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know about your brother so much, but I feel like, you are definitely like you are the handy person. You are so like domestic. You're ready to rock.
No, my brother wasn't that way until he got a job where he had to work with his hands. And now he kind of tries to take over when I'm around. He's like, no, I got this.
Yeah, I've always been a klutz.
Just like, all right.
Yeah, I never could fix anything. In fact, I broke stuff and my dad was just like, you are just utterly useless when it comes to doing anything around the house. So it's like, yeah.
So, yeah, that hasn't happened to you
so
yet.
So that hasn't
made
me a dad.
You're pushing 60.
Yeah.
Still not
three.
A dad.
Number three is me, though.
Uh-oh.
Number three is me, and don't know if it's happened to you, too. I think Steve started, and I think Steve is a late bloomer in this one. I think ever since Tatum came along, you start telling dad jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how long you've been doing that, Steve, but I've been doing it forever.
Well, I mean, dad jokes are just really bad, cheesy jokes, right?
That's what. Yeah. But those are the jokes
that
the average dad
calls. I've been doing that since my teenage years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I always thought your jokes were better than dad jokes. I mean, really.
Well, that's nice. But I appreciate
they
it.
Had an, you know what? They had an edge to them. You know what I mean? How about this? You start telling your kids to ask their mother.
Oh, I've already been doing that to Tatum.
Oh, with Tatum? Tatum was,
She's like, bah. I'm like, ask your mother about it.
Joey Deez, did I ever do that? Did I ever send you to your mother whenever you asked me questions?
No, it was definitely the other way around.
Yeah, you know, in our relationship, you know, it's funny. As we talk about, like, you know, the idea of how you identify and whatever, in our, it's a very complex society now because not everybody's one size fits all. My wife is more of the dude in the relationship, and I'm more of the woman in the relationship. And so she'd always send the kids to talk to me about anything. And, yeah, that's right. So actually, my wife has become her father, is really what's going on. How about falling asleep on the couch watching sports?
Well, I did it last night watching just regular television.
Me too.
What is this sports thing you speak of? I don't remember this.
Yeah, back in the old days.
This ultimate tag count?
Yeah. I believe it does, yes.
Currently, currently it does. If I'm watching the Marbula 1 marble races, I think, yeah.
Marbula 1.
Yeah. That or, yeah.
Wow.
I fall asleep watching particular shows, so that's happening. So I know that, and I remember my dad would do that too. We'd watch a show, and he'd always, and then it's when back when we only had one television, in the old days, and you had to share your TV, I would flick the channel to the show that I wanted to because I would just wait. I'd be like, all right, I can catch half the show that I want because I know he's going to fall asleep, but he always knew. He could always tell when Batman was on because it was too much, you know, there's too many pows and bangs, and it was just.
It's too loud.
He's like, that's not my Western where they're all just cozying up for a sarsaparilla. Take that show off.
Dude, my dad. He didn't really watch sports. Like, he would begrudgingly watch hockey and force himself to fall asleep, I think. So it wasn't really – he wasn't that guy. But whatever show he was watching sucked in my eyes. So, like, Star Trek or he watched Doctor Who. He watched all the shows you like.
Oh, your dad's a classic.
Which is part of why I think I hate all those shows. Because it's like – but I would just sit there and just practically stare at him uncomfortably to watch and see if he would fall asleep and just wait for the moment those eyes got heavy. I'm like – come on, fall asleep so I could get the remote control.
Yeah.
But man, the minute you would grab that remote control, because he'd have it on his like his recliner, his lazy boy, and I'd grab it and he'd wake up. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, crap.
What are you doing?
And then I swear he started doing this on purpose. He put it on like his lap.
Oh.
So that way you didn't want to like, I'm like, I'm not really going to grab it. So like, now I'm just kind of screwed.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good maneuver.
Right. Or if it was on his body, like you're just like, oh man, like it's too close to his junk. Like I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Like, see? I guess I'm just stuck watching Doctor Who.
He knew what was up. He was like, oh yeah, you want to know what this? Oh, I
feel like
badly.
If you fall asleep, like, you know what? Just be okay with it. Like, let your kid take the remote control and watch what he wants to watch.
Some of those old Doctor Who's are tough to watch. I feel bad for
them. They're so bad.
They sucked.
Bad. If you don't like the show and you had to sit through that, that's hard.
Yeah. See, my dad was with, like, Andy Griffith and all those black and white shows. Like, I couldn't handle any.
Oh, nice. Yeah, dude.
Nah, that stuck in my brain.
My dad watched that crap, too.
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, come on. It was Opie. Little Ronnie Howard fishing by the creek.
So boring.
Stupid.
So epically boring.
You didn't find at least Barney Fife to be the only entertainment on that show. He was the only guy.
I wasn't even willing
show.
To watch it. Like, I would just stare at it and force myself not to pay attention.
I'm going to stare at it and not pay any attention.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's like rebellion.
I'm not going to say those shows were great. I mean, for the time period, I'm sure everybody liked them.
Because that's all you had.
Yeah, oh, anyone on this list that you create, like, you have your own spot on the couch or on the, or like, your own chair? Because that's, to me, is like, that will, if I ever get myself, like, a lazy boy.
I don't know.
Recliner, and I never let anyone else sit on it. Then I've truly become my father.
That's not on this survey, but it might be the survey you know when you're turning into Sheldon. That, you know, that might be that survey.
Dude, that's my dad, though. Like, I mean, anyone would sit anywhere near his spot, he would call them out on it. It wasn't even like he would give you a look. He would just out and out and say, you're in my spot. Get out.
Yeah, territorially, I think everybody had to warn visitors in the house.
Mm-hmm. That, I would that's want my dad's chair. I liked watching my dad yell at my friends.
Oh, I didn't want no. He would be mad at me, so I had to really be sure to tell my friends, you can't sit in that chair. It's my dad's chair.
My father-in-law gifted me his old recliner that has like the full massage, like get down and everything with that. Oh, that is my spot. I'm so happy. I mean, it's in the man cave right now, but that is absolutely 100% my chair.
So what if you're having a party and group of people come over and someone just decides to post up and sit in that chair? Would you kick them out?
Depending on my level of intoxication, yes. No matter what, I'm kicking them out, but it depends on whether or not I'm going to yell at them or politely ask.
And it's very old school. I'm sure this is somehow descended from the old king's throne. I really do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I can
the
see
king
that.
Of your castle. All a guy has, at least growing up in my day and probably your day as well, Steve, because we didn't have big houses. I mean, the houses are bigger on average for people. But back then, we lived in a very small house. That was the only thing that my dad had because the rest of the house was either for his wife or his kids. You know, my mom or his, that's it. So he had the chair. That was the only thing he get to have. He's lucky enough he built his own tool shed because we didn't have a garage because it was just carport. So my dad only had the chair. And so I think a lot of fathers are like that. It's like, this is my throne.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so here you are going, you know, bringing the kids from the neighborhood. Come on, defile my father's throne. Do it.
So I said, you'd rather risk waking up your dad than walking up to the TV and changing the channel? Well, with the old cable boxes, it was like kind of a pain. Like, you know, if you're just going to sit there and just keep flipping and flipping. If I knew what I was going to watch, that is a good call.
Yeah, you don't understand. It's Steve was one of those fancy households.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys had the clicker. We didn't get to have that for the longest time.
Well, I mean, my like super young ages, like 6 to 10 years old, I was the remote control. I would just have to sit by the TV.
How cool is that?
And Dad would say, change the channel.
Yeah.
And I'd turn the knob, turn it up. Turn up the volume. I finally sit back on the couch, and then, of course, something happens. He wants me to change the channel. And I'm like, oh, F it. I'm just going to sit here right in front of the TV.
And that's, yeah, that was a great position.
Spot.
You were the, yeah, everybody had the remote control of the family, which was one of the children.
The youngest son.
Yeah. Oh, man. But I used to use that as a thing, like I was his buddy. I figured maybe he'll let me watch like 10 minutes of Lost in Space if, in fact, I get him his beverages and do whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I did what, hey, look, you know what? I did what I could. With
did
the little
work?
Power that I have. You know, I would say, Dad, look, I just want to see what's on next week. Can I watch it? He goes, all right, well, they're going to commercials. Quickly go over to your station. That was the thing. When the commercial was on, could I flip to my station to see what was going on?
I'd be too scared that I wouldn't get back in time, though.
Yeah, well, he would, don't worry about that. He would yell. He would be. He would know. He had a timer in his head.
Yeah.
And now how long these commercial breaks are? Turn it back. Oh, yeah. But then the funny thing is then I saw the power I had. Because it's like, I don't have to turn it back because you'd have to get off the chair if you really. And so when he would lean forward and just kick the recliner part in, like the recliner has three positions. When he would go from the lying position to the relaxing position, that was the first wave of, if I have to get up out of this chair. And so the battles between would I change the channel back in time or not? Ah, those are the fun days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 to 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.